We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now is Dane Brugler of The Athletic as we talk NFL draft. Dane, how are you?
I'm good. It's hard to believe it's draft week.
Finally.
Almost 48 hours. Yeah. We're going to be hearing a lot of noise the next 48 hours about what's going to happen. And, you know, it's kind of hard to weed through what's information and what's misinformation. But, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why the NFL draft is such a popular event is it's, you know, so many different opinions, so many different options, scenarios. But it's almost here. We can talk about fifth more so than what's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, it's been crazy the last few days because Kyler Murray may not go number one. The Jets are having a love affair with Ed Oliver. It's tough to know what's real and what's noise. But let's start with Oliver because this is a guy's name we've heard a lot of over the last week. You have a draft guide. It's available right now. You've got 1,100 players ranked. What was your ranking and what are your overall thoughts on Ed Oliver?
He's number five overall on my board, so I'm a fan. I think you have a player who production is there, the skill set with just his athletic ability is there. There's some questions about fit and, you know, just schematically, where do you put him to be at his best? He played a lot of nose, kind of that shaded nose position at Houston. They wanted him closest to the football so he could be disruptive, and he was to a point, but it really didn't give him a chance to develop as a pass rusher. He's basically thriving off his natural athleticism and his relentless motor. I mean, he plays with a ton of energy, and that worked okay in the AAC in college football, but he needs to add a little more nuance to his game. I think he'll get there. He's still a young player. He just turned 21 years old, and something to keep in mind with Ed Oliver is he's had the same defensive line coach for like six of the last seven seasons. His high school defensive line coach, they hired him at Houston to coach him on the defensive line. So he's been learning the same techniques, the same things over and over. Once he gets to the NFL, he'll kind of widen his horizon, his views on how to play the position, and I think that'll help in a big way.
So if you are a team that is looking to get a stud defensive tackle, would you take him over the kid from Alabama, Keenan Williams?
No, and I love Ed Oliver. But Quinnen Williams, along with Nick Bosa, those are the two best players in this draft.
Okay.
And Quinnen Williams, you can make an easy case. He's the best player in the draft. It just comes down to maybe impact potential, him versus Nick Bosa, the edge rusher. What do you value more, the interior guy, the edge guy? But Quinnen Williams, he's the best player of the two. And, you know, it's funny, when you watch Quinnen Williams, You'll throw on a tape, say, you know, an A&M tape, and you say, okay, this is the signature game. This is what we'll be talking about throughout the draft process. But then you watch LSU, then you watch Missouri, and then each game he gets better and better and better. And so for such a young player, his ability, he's blessed with all the skill set, the complete skill set that you want. But what's rare with him is not only does he have the quickness, the power, the smarts, the mechanics, he uses it all in unison to beat blockers. And so when you can beat blockers in so many different ways, you're just such a disruptive player. And Quinnen Williams, I like Ed Oliver a lot, but if Ed Oliver goes before Quinnen Williams, I think that'd be a mistake.
How much concern would you have, and this goes for a lot of these guys, but specifically with Nick Bosa, the health issues, that 2 years in a row he's had a tough time staying healthy? Because obviously, as good as you may be at the next level, if you're not playing, it's irrelevant. You know, we were talking earlier about John Abraham, who's one of the best pass rushers the Jets have had in the last two decades. His biggest problem is he couldn't stay on the field. Do you have that concern about Nick Bosa, his ability to stay on the field?
It's something that you have to address. And that's why teams pay a lot of money to their doctors, their training staffs, to figure that out. And this is why the combine exists. It's not for the 40-yard dash or anything else. It's for the medicals. And so for Nick Bosa, the chance to go to the combine in February, all 32 teams have their training staff, their team doctors on hand to figure out, okay, is he fully healthy? Any worries long-term? And with Nick Bosa, it's a complicated discussion because not only are we talking about Nick Bosa, but his older brother Joey has had his share of injuries at the NFL level. Their father was a first-round pick in 1987, only played 2 years because of injury. So is there something more, you know, biological with the Bosas where they're, you know, maybe just a little more injury-prone? That's something that, honestly, it's above my head, and I think it's above all our heads. It's up to the doctors to kind of make that determination, because you're right. To be not only worthy of a first-round draft pick, but, you know, to be, you know, you need to be something we can count on. You have to be on the football field. So Nick Bosa, to me, is the best player in this draft. But given the worries about durability and can he stay on the field, that is something that could hurt him. But still, I would be shocked if Nick Bosa falls out of the first three picks. If Kyler Murray goes one, which we expect to happen, San Francisco, I don't think will pass on Nick Bosa. But even if he does, even if they do, I can't see him getting past the Jets at three.
All right. So if you are okay, so the bottom line is this: that you feel so if you are sitting there and you're looking for a pass edge pass rusher, man, Bosa and Josh Allen are there. You're taking Bosa. You're saying, right?
As long as my doctors give me the two thumbs up and say he's fully healthy, there's nothing in his medical report where we think it's going to be a long term thing. Then absolutely. I think he's the more natural pass rusher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has quickness, he has power. But what sets Nick Bosa apart is he's so advanced for a 21-year-old in terms of using his hands, breaking down blockers, understanding what it takes to, play the dance. And so I think he's just so far advanced for a player at that age, similar to, you know, his brother. And Joey was, you know, he burst on the scene a few years ago. So, yeah, there's no question. Nick Bosa, as long as the team doctors give me two thumbs up, that's the direction I would go.
I think we're all kind of wondering what the heck the Giants are going to do and if they take a quarterback with one of their first two first-round picks. They may not. We know what they did last year. They may trade for Josh Rosen. They may not take a quarterback at all and just wait for next year. How do you rank these quarterbacks? And give me your thoughts on some of these top guys, led by Kyler Murray, because you never know. If Arizona passes on him, maybe there's a free fall. Maybe all of a sudden the Giants actually have a chance at him. Give me your thoughts on these top quarterbacks.
Yep. No, I think you set it up nicely, because the quarterbacks are going to be the storyline of night one of the draft, the first round. The quarterbacks are what we're going to be talking about. And let's just assume that Kyler Murray goes one. Well, then, okay, the biggest storyline is going to be, well, who's that number two quarterback? And not only who, but where does he go? When does he come off the board? Is it in the top 10 to a team like the Giants at six? Or does he fall a little bit? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and that's never more true than with quarterbacks. And so, you know, with, you know, Baker Mayfield, if he doesn't go number one last year to Cleveland, he might fall out of the top five last year. And, you know, hindsight, looking back, it was the right decision for Cleveland, and, you know, it looks like it was the right choice. And this year, Kyler Murray, if he doesn't go one, you know, who knows where he falls? Because, again, these quarterbacks are so different. There's not a clear-cut number one consensus top quarterback. Dwayne Haskins, for me, is the top quarterback in this draft. I believe in his arm. I believe in what he offers above the neck. Understanding the sample size isn't ideal. Only 14 career starts. My biggest worry is just when there's a muddy pocket, his ability to navigate through and find those second-chance throws. Because we know in the NFL, pressure is coming. You have to be able to adjust to the pressures. And part of that's just having the instincts. Part of that is the mobility. And I think Dwayne Haskins, his issues in that area, he showed improvement as the season went on. So that gives me hope that it's an experience-based issue, not a talent-based issue. So I'm going to bet on Dwayne Haskins. I think Kyler Murray is worthy of a first-round pick. There's a lot of excitement there. I get it. When you watch his tape at Oklahoma, it makes it so tough to project that to the NFL, because he's playing behind the best offensive line in college football in a conference that doesn't have premier pass rushers or guys that can cover. And, you know, you watch his tape and he has 3, 4, 5 seconds back there to sit back, find his read and deliver. And look, I think he has a whip for an arm. I think he's naturally accurate. But when the NFL, everything's sped up so much more. And, you know, when he has to face that speed, is he going to be able to adjust? It's going to be fascinating to find out. But with Daniel Jones and Drew Lock, the other two quarterbacks that we anticipate going in the first round, opinions are all over the map on these guys. I think Daniel Jones is looked at as doesn't have that elite trait, you know, his arm, his athleticism. But he doesn't have a fatal flaw either. He's a very cerebral passer. He might not be that a guy we ever talk about as a top five quarterback in the NFL, but he's a guy that's not going to bust. And that kind of high floor is how teams view Daniel Jones and why he's being talked about as a potential top 10 pick.
All right, so if Kyler Murray goes one to the Cardinals, what happens to Josh Rosen?
And that becomes part of the storyline I was talking about. You know, these quarterbacks, that's what we're going to be talking about on Thursday night. And Josh Rosen essentially becomes part of this draft class.
Right.
Because, right. It, you know, we talk about the Redskins at 15. They're going to have some options. You know, I know they like Daniel Jones. Do they try to make a move up to go get him? Or do they sit back and say, okay, we'll give up a 2020 second rounder and Case Keenum and send him that package to Arizona? We'll be fine with Josh Rosen. We go back to last year and your evaluation of Josh Rosen. He was a very polarizing player then. He's a very polarizing player now. Only lasted 1 year in Arizona. These are all things you have to consider. But it's really going to be interesting with Arizona. Do they just take the best offer they can get on draft weekend, or maybe they're a little hesitant because they want to get a better offer, and maybe they hold on to Josh Rosen, kind of hold him hostage. And wait and see if an injury happens. See if a team gets desperate because maybe they missed out on a quarterback when the draft is all said and done. So what Arizona does with Josh Rosen will certainly be fascinating and something we'll be talking about and watching closely on draft weekend.
Now, we both understand. We're talking to Dane Brugler, who does a great job with this draft, which we're finally going to have on Thursday night, at least day one of the draft. Dane works for The Athletic. He also has this draft guide, which is available, which has 1,103 players ranked. Mm. I know there's a lot of noise, but there seems to be this thought that maybe if the Giants take a quarterback, it would be Daniel Jones out of Duke. What, to prepare Giant fans, can you expect from him short-term and long-term? What do you see his ceiling at? Give me some feel for what Giant fans could expect from Jones if that's indeed a quarterback they draft.
Well, I'm watching Daniel Jones at Duke. It was pretty clear he was really the only future pro on that offense. And so I think you have to take that into account when you look at the production and say, oh, well, only 60% completions. Well, a lot of that is because he was getting hit within 2 seconds that he had the ball. He didn't have the offensive line. So I think, you know, just watching him on tape and looking at the stats, you have to put that into perspective. I think the fact that, his head coach, David Cutcliffe, talks so glowingly about his intelligence, about the way he adjusts, his toughness, and he's not a guy that's like it's kind of similar to Eli Manning in terms of the demeanor. It's a quiet confidence. You know, he's not going to be a rah-rah guy or, you know, someone that gets you really, you know, jacked to go out there and win. He's not that type of vocal leader, but he has that quiet confidence where, you know, he refuses to go down. He's going to battle it out. He's tough. I think he has a quick trigger. He'll load and fire, get rid of the football. My biggest question with him is just the internal clock. He needs to get rid of the football quicker. He took a beating in college, and you know that's something else you have to worry about. He had the shoulder injury, worked his way back from that. But I think he's a very cerebral passer. You see the Manning influence from Coach Cutcliffe with the way he pats the football. You see a lot of that in just his mannerisms in the pocket. So I think he can be a B-level starter in the NFL. Again, Daniel Jones, I don't think, is a guy we'll ever be talking about as a top five, top seven quarterback in the NFL, but he can help you win football games. And I think on the same level as like a Kirk Cousins. And, you know, that's not necessarily meant to be a negative. It's not really meant to be a positive. It's just, you know, he can be a solid quarterback at the next level.
So right now, so you got Murray. So your top quarterback is Haskins. You
correct.
Say that's who you. So you got him ahead of Murray, and then Jones would be the next guy. Is that how you got it?
I have a Drew Lock, and then I have Daniel Jones. Drew Lock is more You know, if he hits, then I think he's going to be a big time player. Reminds me a lot of Derek Carr when he's coming out of Fresno State because he has a huge arm. He can put the ball anywhere he wants on the football field. The makeup is there, the size, the athleticism. I mean, he had Division I offers to go play basketball out of high school. He's a big-time athlete. So with Drew Lock, I think you feel good. If you can correct some things, mostly his mechanics, his lower body mechanics, which will directly influence his decision-making and his accuracy, if you can get him to iron out some of those issues, I think you have a guy that can be an above-average starter, but that's a big if. And so there is definitely risk with a guy like Drew Lock, but I do believe someone in the first round would be willing to take that risk.
What do you think of Will Greer?
I think he's a rhythm passer. You know, when he finds that rhythm, Will Grier can be deadly. He's one of the best deep ball throwers in this draft. But there are times where he just really struggles to find that rhythm, and that's where things kind of go haywire. He's an older guy. He's already 24 years old, but he was productive. And, you know, like I said, one of the best deep ball throwers. Some of his deep balls, it doesn't get any prettier than that. But when he doesn't find that rhythm, his decisions are all over the place, and he's just a hard guy to trust. So, but he's a guy that's been through a lot. I mean, he was kicked out of Florida, suspended. He's married. He's a father. I mean, he's a guy that's ready to be a professional. And so I think he's a guy that the confidence that he plays with, the toughness, things that you can work with. I see him as more of a backup and a guy that can come in and start if you need him to. But I don't necessarily see a long-term starter like these other guys.
Well, what about this kid from Mississippi State, the defensive lineman from Mississippi State that a lot of people are high on? How about him?
Montez Sweat?
Yes.
He was flagged, and he's a guy that blew up the combine. Two-year starter in the SEC, had double-digit sacks both years, so he has the tape, he has the production, he has the testing. But he was flagged at the combine with an enlarged heart. And basically the same thing that Maurice Hurst went through last year.
Right,
fell to the
right.
Fifth round with the Raiders. I've been told by teams that he's off some boards, but it's basically because he doesn't have the same medical history, he doesn't have it in his family, he doesn't have past issues with episodes. Because of that, doctors are optimistic that it's just something that will need to be monitored with regular checkups and not something that's going to keep him from having a long career. So some teams are more ultra conservative when it comes to their medicals, especially with heart or, you know, organ issues. But there are several teams picking in the top 20 that I think will be willing to take that risk. So I don't think it's going to be a free fall for Montez Sweat.
I remember during the national championship game how impressive Christian Wilkins was. Where do you project him going, and how good do you think he can be at the next level?
He's a top 10 player on my board. I'm not sure he's going to go that high, just because I don't think he has huge upside. He's a guy that I think he's already a finished product. You know exactly what you're getting. And to me, that's the appeal with Christian Wilkins. He might not have that huge ceiling of an Ed Oliver, but with Christian Wilkins, he's a guy that, he's going to give you, the intangibles. He's one of the smartest players in this draft. He won the William Campbell Trophy, the academic Heisman last year, just the fifth unanimous All-American in Clemson history. There are times where he'll get washed versus the run, but he's quick through the gaps. He's really flexible where he can disrupt the backfield and really affect what the quarterback is doing, make him move his feet. So I think just the combination of the high character, the intelligence, and just the overall quickness that he provides, he can be a solid interior player for a long time. Again, maybe not a guy that's ever going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, but he's going to be a reliable starter, and I think you know exactly what you're getting. And to me, that's the appeal with Christian Wilkins.
All right, how about the two LSU guys, Grady Williams and Devin White? How about them? Both first-round picks, right?
Probably. Devin White, I think, is going to go pretty early, possibly in the top five. He's a C-ball, get-ball guy. The play speed, the violent hits that he plays with, the energy, it's off the charts. I think he's kind of that tempo setter that Jamal Adams, also from LSU, was for the Jets,
right,
the top 10
right.
pick a couple years ago. Same type of tempo setter. And then Greedy Williams, he's tall, he's almost 6'2", and he's fast. He's a 4'3 athlete, but he's only 185 pounds, and you do worry a little bit about just the competitive nature. He would leave some production on the field, didn't always play up to his ability. And so I think if you believe that he can stay motivated and you can keep him motivated, then he's worth a top 20 pick, top 15 pick. But it's just those questions about, is he going to fight day in, day out, and be the best player that he can be? Those are the questions why he's probably more of a late first round pick at this point, more so than a top 15 guy.
Using all your knowledge, and you've got a lot of it, and all your projection ability, who are the Jets drafting at 3? Who are the Giants drafting at 6?
Yeah, you're right about that, Oliver. Rumors, and it's rampant right now. I'm going to say they're going to go Quinnen Williams. I think he's just too good. I think he fits any scheme. If you're going to take a defensive tackle there, take the better defensive tackle in Quinnen Williams. 6 with the Giants, I think they go pass rush. And I think there's a chance that Josh Allen from Kentucky will be there, and I think he'd be an ideal fit. I think Dave Gettleman wants a pass rusher. He wants someone that they can really build the defense around, and I think Josh Allen would fit nicely.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I know my feeling here. That's why I'm saying nothing. I'm saying no. I'm okay. Look. I don't know if Dane knows this, but we're both big Jet fans. I'm a big Jet fan for 54 years. I got scars on my body. Okay. And the draft has never been, you know, the Jets are the kings of let's get cute and blow it. I mean, nobody does it better. You know, I can start reeling them off. We don't have that kind of time. You don't have that kind of time. You know,
why I miss the draft being in New York, just hearing the fans.
Right. Well, you'll hear me anyway, and I'm not even on Twitter. And I'll be watching at home, and you'll be able to hear me screaming if they take Ed Oliver. See, I look at it this way, okay? I'm dumb. I don't know anything. I'm a Jet fan. How smart can I be? For 54 years, obviously, I'm pretty stupid. So with that said, okay, here's a franchise that, like Evan said, they haven't had a pass rush to John Abraham, really, because Abraham was always hurt, really Mark Gastineau. Let's go back that far, okay? All right? So you got a chance to take a big pass rusher if Allen's sitting there. Don't take him. That's the Jets. We don't need him. The hell with him. Now, I feel better about Quinnen Williams than I do about Ed Oliver, but, I mean, the last thing I want to see is Josh Allen wind up with the Giants and turn into LT. I got to tell you. And then I got to watch him play every day, and I got to get aggravated. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, I certainly understand that. And Josh Allen, there's upside there. I mean, he's a player that came back for. He was a wide receiver in high school. Didn't play defense until his senior year.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And he's a guy that goes to Kentucky and he gets better every single year. If he came out last year as a junior, which he almost did, he would have been a borderline top 100 pick. Comes back for his senior year.
Right.
And added 20 pounds. He expanded his pass rush repertoire. And, you know, the production in the SEC, 21.5 tackles for loss, 17 sacks. I mean, there's a lot to be – I get the appeal with Josh Allen. Now, he doesn't have a power move as a rusher. There's some things you worry about there. But and he's not like, you know, that Von Miller speed rusher around the edge. Mm-hmm. He's well-rounded. He can drop and cover. He can give you that pass rush off the edge. So there's plenty to like about Josh Allen. I don't think he's a no-brainer top four pick. But I certainly, from a Jets perspective, certainly understand why you'd want to go with the edge rusher, the talented edge rusher, over the interior player. I totally understand that.
Okay.
Dane, we're almost there, and we appreciate you coming on, man.
Great job.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thank you.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic. He has a draft guide available with 1,103 players ranked.
Did you imagine doing that?
No.
Wow.
I'd get through 10, maybe 20, and then I'd be tired.
You're tired.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.